Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich with Crime Talk. Thanks for tuning in. We have a big docket today. First on the docket, that's right, 2 years ago today, Shanann Watts was murdered by Christopher Watts. Second, an officer who is truly a hero. Third, R. Kelly wishes he could fly, but it looks like he's going to be a jailbird. Fourth, Ghislaine Maxwell documents are coming. The judge denies request by her attorneys not to release further documents. Fifth, the prosecution wants a joint trial for all officers charged in the George Floyd matter. Sixth, maybe some charges in the Breonna Taylor case. Seven, snake oil salesmen are arrested. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. If you haven't already done so, we would ask that you hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, and then go over there and hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. A busy docket today. That's right. First on the docket, 2 years ago today. That's right. August 13th, 2018 is when Shanann Watts was murdered by Christopher Watts. For those of you who do not recall, in the early morning hours of August 13th of 2018 in Frederick, Colorado, Christopher Watts murdered his wife, Shanann Watts. Shanann was strangled. Their daughters, 4-year-old Bella and 3-year-old Celeste, died from asphyxiation due to smothering. Watts then disposed of his daughters' bodies in oil tanks and buried his wife in a shallow grave at his work site. He ultimately pled guilty on November 6th of 2018 to multiple counts of first-degree murder as part of the plea deal where the death penalty was taken off the table for sentencing. He received multiple life sentences without the possibility of parole. Ultimately, on December 3rd of 2018, Watts was moved to an out-of-state location for security reasons, and on December 5th, he arrived at the Dodge Correctional Institution in Wisconsin. That's where he continues to serve his sentence. We've done lots of videos regarding the Christopher Watts case. In fact, that's really how this channel got started, because it just drove me nuts that the news media couldn't get anything correct at all. In fact, we have the video titled "The Email That Started It All," the relationship that basically sprang up at work between Christopher Watts and Nicole Kessinger. We have the Nicole Kessinger interview. Now, lots of people still wonder whether she will ever be charged, and I always think it's hilarious that I was accused of representing Nicole Kessinger, but we never did. And we also have our open letter to Christopher Watts when there was talk about him trying to withdraw his guilty plea. Simply not going to happen. I think this is the time for everyone to reflect and pause for a moment to think about all the victims of any sort of domestic violence type of situation. And here, take a minute to think about not only Shanann, but Bella, Celeste, and obviously Nico. Cases like this simply don't have to happen. If you don't want to be married anymore, you get a divorce, but you don't kill your wife and kids. Mr. Watts will spend the rest of his life in prison and ultimately die there. Ladies and gentlemen, there will always be scammers out there, whether they're selling you something or whether they want to be involved with you in a relationship. How can you prevent that? By doing a background search and checking out if their story checks out. How can you do that? Go to crimetalksearch.com. Sign up for a background subscription service. Here's the beautiful thing. You can sign up and you can cancel at any time. But while you have that subscription, guess what? You can search as many names as you want anonymously. So whether you're involved with somebody in a relationship, and we've heard from people that said, hey, I got this subscription, the guy didn't check out, or whether you are a true crime sleuth, which we have talked about, where people can go on the internet and help people solve crimes, you need this subscription. In these background searches, you get information regarding someone's social media history, their phone records, their email addresses, criminal history, including sex offender registration. This report is generated after it searches millions of documents across the United States, and it's all done in a matter of minutes. Go to crimetalksearch.com and sign up for your subscription. You will be happy you did. Next on the docket, an officer who is truly a hero. Now, sometimes because we bring you news and it involves police officers, people accuse me in the comments section that I am anti-police. I am not anti-police. In fact, I am pro-good police officer, and I am anti-bad, corrupt police officer, just like in any profession. Well, let's take a look at this hero. A California police officer pulled a man out of his wheelchair and to safety on Wednesday before he would have been crushed by an oncoming train. Take a look at this video. Officer Erica Urea were on patrol in the Central Valley community when they spotted a 66-year-old man in his wheelchair stuck on tracks as crossing guards were coming down and a train was actually approaching. Take a look at this incredible body cam footage that captures a true life and death situation in a matter of seconds. Urea sprinted from her car to the pedestrian, quickly asked him, "Can you get up?" Urea then unbuckled him, grabbed his torso, and pulled him up out of the chair. "Get up, get up," she was screaming. Look at that. Urea and the man then fell to the ground as the train smashed his wheelchair simply feet away. This officer is truly a hero and probably could have sat in her car and simply said, "Ooh, I need assistance." But no, she went forward when most people would have gone the other direction. That is a true hero. Officer Urea, our hats off to you. Next on the docket, R. Kelly. Bet he wishes he could fly. But no, I think he's just going to be a jailbird. Remember when R. Kelly wanted to be released because he had concerns of the COVID-19 virus? Do you remember that? In fact, he's asked a couple of times to be released from both cases pending trial in New York as well as in Chicago. Well, one of the reasons that the United States attorneys objected so strenuously is that they believed that victims and witnesses would be tampered with and influenced by R. Kelly. Well, guess what? Three men, prosecutors say, are connected to R. Kelly, were charged in federal court for using threats, intimidation, and bribes in efforts to influence testimony by alleged victims in the racketeering case against R. Kelly. The complaint lists Richard Arlene Jr., Donnell Russell, and Michael Williams as defendants. The defendants are separately charged with engaging in multiple crimes that were intended to undermine and subvert the integrity of the criminal justice system and victimize the women who have come forward with serious allegations of criminal conduct against R. Kelly. That's according to the United States attorney. Now, R. Kelly's attorneys say that he had nothing to do with this in any way, and they're completely shocked and aghast as well. Mr. Arlene, a self-proclaimed lifelong friend of R. Kelly, talked to one of the alleged victims about compensating her, including perhaps a small payment of $500,000. Guess what? The conversation was recorded by a judicially authorized wiretap. So that's right. The evidence is on tape. Mr. Russell, another self-described manager, advisor, and friend of R. Kelly, allegedly threatened to reveal sexually explicit photographs of alleged victims Jane Doe and to publicly reveal her sexual history if she did not withdraw her lawsuit against Mr. Kelly. And then Mr. Williams of Valdosta, Georgia, set fire to an SUV outside a home where an alleged victim was staying. I bet you R. Kelly is glad that he is in custody at this point because he couldn't have been involved in this alleged he certainly more than likely would have been if he was out of custody. Now, Mr. Kelly is still facing charges in New York, which include racketeering in violation of the Mann Act, which prohibits sex trafficking across state lines, as well as federal charges of child pornography in the U.S. Northern District of Illinois, where he is also being held without bond. Mr. Kelly has pled not guilty to all the charges in both jurisdictions and is still awaiting trial. The trial date in September was scheduled, but it's uncertain whether it will actually begin because of the delays related to the coronavirus. Now, I can tell you, as someone who has done cases where people have attempted to kill victims, witnesses, or attempted to influence witnesses, it is not a good thing at all. If these three defendants, who are all given the presumption of innocence, are convicted, they are going to prison for sure. The one way to bring the entire weight of the judicial system upon you is to go attempt to tamper with or harm a victim. Judges don't take that lightly. Prosecutors certainly don't take that lightly. And it has to be punished severely. Otherwise, people will try and get away with it. It undermines the whole process where victims don't feel safe to come forward in our judicial system, and it won't be allowed. Next on the docket, Ghislaine Maxwell documents should be forthcoming. That's right, a judge has denied her request to have documents remain sealed. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be looking forward to the release of these documents. That's right, a U.S. judge rejected Ghislaine Maxwell's request for a three-week delay in unsealing additional documents related to her dealings with the late financier, that guy, Mr. Jeffrey Epstein. Judge Loretta Preska said there is no reasonable basis to order a delay because a protective order in the criminal case meant that the new information could not be disclosed to the general public. And we all know, more than likely, that information will be released, or we'll at least have some idea what the contents may be. Now, these documents come from a long-settled civil defamation case against Maxwell by one of her accusers, who alleged that Mr. Epstein kept her as a sex slave with Ms. Maxwell's help. Motions are set in Ms. Maxwell's case for September 22nd, as well as a jury trial set for next July. For those of you who've been playing at home, today is day 42 on the suicided watch for Ms. Maxwell. 42 days down, only 11 months to go until her trial date. Do you think she'll make it? Next on the docket, the prosecutors in the cases against the former officers involved in the death of George Floyd want to only do this trial one time. Yep, the prosecutors have filed a motion for joinder. Basically, all four of these individuals have separate cases. All the evidence is the same, and so the prosecutor has filed a motion to join all of these cases. And the reasons cited for doing so is simply that all the evidence is basically the same. No need to do it all four times for each officer. The prosecutor's also said that he doesn't want to put Mr. Floyd's family through the process of multiple trials. The best issue that the defense has for the court not granting joinder is the fact that they have antagonistic defenses. Now, the prosecutor is saying that the defendants are not seeking to put blame on each other, which would force the jury to choose between multiple theories. The prosecutor alleged that the defendants won't be adversely affected by a single trial, and they say that the burden of establishing an antagonistic defense rests with the defendants, which the prosecutors claim they cannot show. Well, let's talk about that. Prosecutors would always like to do one trial and one trial alone. However, there are several factors that come into that. And the biggest factor is, do the defendants have antagonistic defenses against one another? I.e., are they going to be pointing fingers at somebody and saying, he's really the bad one? Now, here, clearly, Derek Chauvin, the officer who had his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck, is going to have fingers pointed at him all day, saying that he was the senior officer and he was the one who actually had his knee on the neck. If the other three officers were not pointing their finger at Mr. Chauvin, they would probably be committing malpractice by not doing so. Additionally, there are going to be statements that may be admissible against one officer for statements that they made to investigators that may not be admissible as it relates to other defendants in the particular case, and which would mean that some of the other defendants would not be able to cross-examine and test the validity of those statements. Those statements would be hearsay as it related to any of the other officers who was not actually making that statement. And those statements, like I said, are not subject to cross-examination because you cannot cross-examine the person allegedly making the statements, which would be one of the other officers. So for that reason, I don't believe that this is going to be a slam dunk for the prosecutors to have a single trial. Derek Chauvin, I think, will absolutely get his own trial. It's a little closer call for the other three officers, but I ultimately think there will be four separate trials. I guess we'll just have to wait and see if I'm right or if I'm wrong. There may be some charges in the Breonna Taylor matter. At least that's what the family is hoping for. The family of Breonna Taylor met with the state attorney general in Kentucky, Mr. Daniel Cameron. Now, Mr. Cameron stated that his office continues to investigate the case, but he appreciated the opportunity to express his condolences to the family. The attorney general actually initiated the meeting to inform the family of what is taking place. The family stated that he seemed sincere and genuine, which they truly appreciated. The family also believes that they are confident that the truth will come out and that justice will be served. For those of you who don't recall, Breonna Taylor was 26 years old, and she was shot and killed in the early morning hours of March 13th of 2020 by three plainclothes officers who were executing a no-knock warrant. The warrant was part of a drug case involving a man who did not live at the apartment and was already in police custody. Taylor's boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, said he thought the officers were intruders at the time that he actually fired at them. The officers then, relying on their training, returned fire and ultimately killing Miss Taylor. The three officers involved, Jonathan Mattingly, Brett Hankinson, and Miles Cosgrove, have not been charged with any crimes to date. Hankinson was fired in late June, but not related to his conduct in this particular matter. In fact, it was related to him giving off-duty rides in his patrol car to ladies of the night. Hopefully something will come from this. And in fact, just the other day, Oprah Winfrey is spending money, including putting a billboard up stating that charges need to be filed against the officers. The problem with these kinds of investigations is that they take forever, but yet it took only a few hours for the police to originally charge Mr. Walker in this particular case. But here we are several months later and they're still investigating. Unfortunately, that's the way the police and the authorities, the district attorneys, the attorney generals delay a no-file case by dragging it out and simply saying in months down the road, we don't believe that we can prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt. And I appreciate the ethical standard, but come on, it doesn't take months and months and months when you immediately charged Mr. Walker and short amount of time, you were also able to determine that you couldn't proceed on those charges as well. So we appreciate the Attorney General, but come on, make a decision. Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Next on the docket, do you remember talking about the snake oil salesman a couple of weeks ago? That's right. A Florida man and his son was arrested Tuesday in Colombia and now facing extradition back to the United States, where they've been charged with conspiracy and contempt over their manufacture and marketing of an industrial bleach, where they claim it is a miracle cure from anything, including Alzheimer's, to COVID-19. Originally, prosecutors charged Mark Grenon, 62, Jonathan Grenon, 34, Jordan Grenon, 26, and Joseph Grenon, 32, in July after they ignored warnings from the Food and Drug Administration to stop promoting their alleged miracle mineral solution. Mark and Joseph were arrested in Colombia in Santa Marta, and it is alleged that the Grenons had been marketing and shipping their highly toxic potion to Europe, Africa, from Colombia. When the Grenons were arrested, officers seized 50 gallons of hydrochloric acid and 22 gallons of the finished miracle drug that they were peddling. Now, there will always be people out there trying to take advantage of people that are sick and ill and hoping for a cure. Ladies and gentlemen, it's number one rule of life. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And finally, today on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Sometimes ideas may seem pretty good, and sometimes they just are not what they appear to be. So our dumb criminal contestant of the day is Nicole Paris. Well, apparently Nicole Paris's son and a friend had gone for a long bike ride when they got tired. And so the boys called their mother and asked for a ride back to their Pennsylvania residence. When Miss Paris arrived, she realized that neither all the children nor the bikes would fit into the car. So she came up with a brilliant idea. She placed a towel in the car's rear hatch, which then would serve as a tow line that the children could hold onto and they could be pulled home while sitting on their bikes. However, as it's described in the complaint, the invention failed miserably when Miss Paris's son lost his grip on the towel and fell down on his bicycle. The boy's friend then proceeded to run him over with his bicycle. That's right. Miss Paris was charged with two misdemeanor counts of endangering the welfare of children. Now, Miss Paris is scheduled to appear in court on September 17th. To add insult to injury, Miss Paris obviously received her summons to appear in court, but her son stated he wanted his own mother charged and that he would testify against her in court regarding this incident. Now, the complaint doesn't say the age of the children, but Miss Paris, you must be doing a real bang-up job that your kids want you prosecuted. So, Miss Paris, for your ingenious idea, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. This moment also provides a good teachable moment for everyone out there. Ask yourself, before you start doing things with your children or leaving your children somewhere or taking them somewhere, how is this going to look if the police were called at this very moment? Would they arrest you? Think about it. Maybe if they don't arrest you, would they simply say, "What were you thinking? That's not a good idea." So for Miss Paris, at least you tried the tow rope. It doesn't say exactly how fast you were going, and it doesn't sound like somebody was seriously hurt, but poor judgment. But on the positive side, at least you didn't have the kids hop on the roof of the car and do a little car surfing. Thanks for watching. We appreciate everyone who does. It is appreciated. We know you have lots of things that you could be doing, and the fact that you take time to watch Crime Talk is truly appreciated. Have a great day.